My desire is to honor you, Lord. I want to give you glory and praise. I lift my voice in adoration, giving me salvation. You have been my friend when no one else was there. You have proved your many miracles to me. I'm amazed at how you've taken care of me. There's no way to repay you for all you've given me. But I come to you and offer my praise. As long as there is breath in me, Lord, I will bless your name. As long as I have life, your name I'll glorify. You can take who I am, my desires and my dreams. I'll trade them for your will. I'll exchange them for your plan. As long as you're glorified. You've been my fortress, my refuge through the storm. There's never been a time I've been alone. Your grace and mercy have carried me through. Every hour, every moment, whether I was weak or strong. Help me, Lord, to keep trusting in you. That whatever path you lead me, I will go. I know I'll find your presence leading all the way. Lord, may my life be of glory to you. You can take who I am, my desires and my dreams. I'll trade them for your will. I'll exchange them for your plan. As long as you're glorified. As long as you're glorified.
For that, take your Bibles if you would please and turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians in chapter number 2, please. And as you find that, as you're able, would you stand to your feet? Galatians chapter number 2, and we'll be reading one verse. I'll read it first, and then if you would follow along with me, we'll read it together the second time. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20. And then if you're able, if you stand to your feet, just read the Word of God. If you're not able, that would be fine. You can stay seated. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. I'll read it first, and then you follow along with me. We'll read it together the second time. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's read that together. Ready and begin. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this service already. And Lord, may you be glorified today with our lives, with our church. Lord, I pray that you would speak through your word today and help, Lord. Pray that if there's anyone here that does, again, not know you as their Savior, that they would trust in you alone today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, as you look at the verse here, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Thinking about Jesus' crucifixion and what Jesus went through and that he gave his life, and that meant he died. I am crucified with Christ. And the crucifixion of Jesus was a bloody scene. It was a sacrificial scene, but he gave his life. And as God used the Apostle Paul here in Galatians in chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I'm crucified with Christ. It doesn't mean that Paul was taking his life, but it says in the next phrase, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There was something with Paul that he would refer to in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, where Paul would say this, I die daily. He would say that in another phrase, that Paul himself and his flesh and his will and what he wanted to do, that he was dying so that Christ would live through him. To be crucifying the flesh, that's the subject we'll look at today. I am looking forward to eternity, aren't you? Looking forward to heaven. We sang about that this morning with our first song, just over in the glory land. And looking forward to heaven, what a wonderful thought that is. I'm not looking forward to the part that gets you there, the dying part. And I mentioned that last week, and looking forward to Christ's return and being caught up together with him in the clouds and meeting the Lord with the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful thought that will be. But that dying part, I don't look forward to. As Paul would say while he lived, he said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I. He says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And he was saying, I want Christ to live, but he said, I've got to die to myself so that Christ can live through me. This wasn't talking about a salvation. You don't live for God. You don't have to be a good person to earn salvation or to keep your salvation. That had nothing to do with it. And this was all about his surrender. Surrender. Surrender might be one of the most difficult parts of life, about giving way to God's will. Giving way to what God has in your life. Again, in 1 Corinthians 15, 31, Paul would say this, I die daily. You ever surrendered your life to God and say, God, you have my life. It's your family, your life, whatever you want. But then the next day you went and picked it back up. God will do whatever you want me to do. And the next day you say, you know what? I changed my mind. You ever been there before? You don't have to raise your hand because we'd all be there, right? You say, one time I prayed and said, God, whatever you want with my life, it's yours. But you realize this, as the Apostle Paul said, he said, I die daily. There's part of the Christian life to where every single day where you have to wake up every day and you're going to have to battle what's called the flesh. You're going to have to battle the flesh. I don't know about you, but my alarm went off today. And for some reason, I don't know if you do this, but my ringer was up to 100%. And scared the fire out of me. I didn't know what was going on. And man, that woke me up. I was like, oh, you know, trying to stop then and don't wake up the whole house. And that scared me. And I think I died a little bit as I woke up there. But each day you wake up and you ever battle the flesh? You wake up in the morning and you think, I know what I'm supposed to do today, but I don't want to do it. I know where I'm supposed to go today, but I don't want to go there. I know I'm supposed to spend time with God today, but I don't feel like it. And there's a battle of the flesh and the spirit that each day you're going to have that battle. You're going to have that fight. And what it is that Paul was saying, I'm surrendering because I want the spirit to win. I want God to win, and I want the flesh to lose. The problem is this, that our flesh is strong, isn't it? My will is strong. My desire is strong. What I want to do is very strong, and I have to choose to surrender. I have to choose to surrender to put myself under the authority of God to surrender, definition of it is to cease resistance to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority. Now, God is not our enemy and God is not our opponent, quite the opposite. God has what is best in mind for you, and God has what's best in mind for me, and God wants to bless your life more than you could ever imagine. But the problem is that you and I get in the way, don't we? God says, I want to help you, but you've got to listen. I've got the Bible, I've got the Holy Spirit to help you, but you've got to surrender. That you've got to give way and put yourself under the authority of God. Turn over to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1. And there's this passage here gives us a lot to say about this subject of surrendering to God and not living in the flesh. Our flesh, of course, is our old nature. That is our sinful nature that wants to do wrong. Anyone in here like that? You just want to do wrong? Someone says don't look and you want to look. They say don't touch and you want to touch. That's our sin nature, right? Where we want to go the wrong direction. But that spirit that's trying to guide us and point us in the right direction. And we have that battle of the flesh and the spirit. In Romans 6 and verse number 1, it says, and this is talking about saved people. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? For those that are saved, that you know that you're going to heaven, how could we that are saved, how could we live any longer in sin? There's some that would say in the jail, especially this conversation would come up, and they would say, so you're saying that God would forgive me of any sin? I said, yes. And you're saying once I get saved, that no matter what I do, I can never lose my salvation? And I would say, yes, that's what the Bible says. And aren't you thankful for that? Amen. And but here's the thing, though. You say, so I'm saved, I get to do whatever I want to do. You can, but you also live with the consequences of that as well. And so do I. It says, how shall we that are dead to sin, that are saved, live any longer therein? Why would you choose the old life? Why would you choose to walk in that dead old life that had no hope, no future, nothing to offer you? Why would we go back to the old life? Why would we go back to the ways that are dead? In verse number 12, the Bible says here, we'll skip down a little bit, and it says in verse 12, let not sin therefore reign or control in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. We sing about that this morning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. In verse number 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. What it's saying here is you're going to choose who you're going to obey. You're going to choose who you're going to follow. You ever thought that you knew best and you realize that you didn't? You ever get that GPS out and it tells you where to go and you think, you are not telling me the right way. This could not possibly be the right direction. And let's be honest, as men, we seem to know best, all right? And if you don't think that, your wife can nudge you and tell you that. But we think, I know best. I know directions. I know where to go because I'm a man. All right? I can figure it out. I've got the answers, right? You're like that? Raise your hand so I'm not the only one here. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. All right? I'll speak for the men. I don't want to harp on the ladies today and get in trouble. All right? But you think, I know better. And you see it says, turn right, turn right. You think, I don't need to turn. This is not the way. And then you keep going. You realize, oh, that was the right way to go. And you realize, I went off course because I was listening to me and not to the one that was telling me where to go. I want to talk to you about this subject of surrender and being crucified with Christ. Surrendering your life to God. This is not about salvation. Salvation comes before surrender. Too many people are trying to live the Christian life without being a Christian. They're trying to follow the Bible and do all the things of being a Christian when you're not even saved yet. Salvation comes before surrender. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and he realized he was Jesus. He said, "No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And he came to Jesus, and Jesus knew exactly why he came, but even more important than that, Jesus knew what he needed. You ever realize that God knows what you need before you ask? Before you even come to him, maybe, and God says, "I know what you need if you're willing to listen and to come to me." And Jesus would say to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, immediately, right off the bat, he would say, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again." There's a number of terms in the Bible about being saved. One of my favorite is this, that you must be born again. To be born again, to be saved and on your way to heaven. You know the great thing about being born, that being born is physically, being born once, born again second time would be spiritually. See, being born once, there was a specific moment of your birth, right? A specific time. There was a specific place. It happened at one moment that you were born physically, right? The same thing spiritually. The same thing being saved, or you're born again. I have a birth date of when I was born physically, but I have a date when I was born again spiritually into the family of God. Do you remember the day that you got saved? You remember the day where you bowed your head and your heart to God, not giving your life to God? Too many people are trying to give your life to God to go to heaven. You don't give your life to God to go to heaven. You, by faith, realize that it's Jesus Christ alone, all of God, to get you saved, none of you. You don't work your way there. You don't surrender your life. You don't clean your life up to go to heaven. You, by faith, realize that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Not one way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," he said. You're only saved through Jesus Christ when you are born again into the family of God. Many people think, well, because I'm living, I'm saved. Because I'm a creation of God, I must be a child of God. That's not true. You must be born again. Can you go back to a time, a place? You may not remember the date, but can you remember in your mind and in your heart that moment when you realized that you were a sinner? You deserve the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death, to a place called hell. But you trusted in Jesus Christ alone, that he died for you, and his love on the cross was crucified for our sins so that we can go to heaven. He went in the grave for 3 days and rose again to offer the free gift of salvation. I don't know about you, but I love that word free. Do you like that word free? There's not a lot of things that are free anymore. We had Save More closed down next to us. Sad moment. And I think half the church went over there and bought him out. And Nehemiah showed me the like 25 packs of gum that he bought there because they were on sale. Amen. They're probably all gone, right? I think so. And but there's nothing free. Every once in a while I get an offer. It's free, but they're trying to get you to buy something else. There's some kind of an attachment to it. But guess what? Salvation is, as advertised, free. Are you thankful? Free. When you come to Jesus Christ by faith, saying, "I trust in you," ask you, come to my heart for salvation by faith, asking in him alone. That is salvation. That has nothing to do with surrender. That's all salvation. That's putting your faith in God and what he did. After that, that is the subject of surrender. See, when you get saved in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Can we testify for a moment and thank the Lord that before you were saved, that's not who you are today? You have a new destination. You're a new person. You have a new life because you're saved. Aren't you thankful for that? Old things are passed away. But then you've got that subject of surrender that comes up. Now that I'm saved, I want to do right all the time. Is that you? You always want to do right. Every time. If it's the law, you want to do it. If the Bible says it, that's what you do because you always want to do right. No, because we have that fleshly nature that wants to do wrong. It wants to sin. It wants to go the wrong direction. You'd say, even though you're saved, even though you're a pastor, you want to do wrong? Yes. just like you, right? But then you have that spiritual nature. You have that with Holy Spirit living in your heart, and you must surrender to God daily. Why? Because God's way is always best, right? God's way is always best. I go my way, and I go, oops, or ouch, or both, and say, I went the wrong way. And God said, okay, let me help you to get back on the right path. And you've got to surrender and say, God, I was wrong. God, I'm sorry. God, would you help me and lead me in the right direction? Have you ever fully surrendered to the Lord in your life? Fully surrendered to God and say, God, it's not my life. It's not my family. It's not my finances. Not my job. Not my car. Not my anything. God, it's yours. Everything that I have is yours, and it truly is. But too often we're trying to take things that are not ours. See, guess what? The Bible says that, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? It says, and you are not your own. Think about that. You're not your own. The Bible says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Guess what? It's not my life. It's God's life. This is not mine. This is God's. That's why that subject of surrender, where you say, God, I die daily. I'm crucified with Christ. God, it's yours. Whatever you want with my life today, it is yours. Have you ever told God, I'm not mine, I'm yours? It's one of the most difficult parts of the Christian life, I believe, because it's something that must be done every single day. Salvation happens at one moment. And aren't you thankful you don't have to get saved every day? Aren't you thankful you don't have to get saved every time you sin and do wrong? Amen. But that area of surrender, not for salvation, but to have a victorious Christian life, to be in the center of God's will, takes surrender every day. To wake up and say, God, it's your life. God, it's your mind. God, it's your ears. God, it's your mouth. God, it's your hands. It's your feet. Whatever you want from me, that's what I want to do. But too many times I get up and say, God, well, here's what I want to do today. Instead of, God, what do you want me to do today? See the difference? The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse number 7, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Again, remember, surrender is this, surrendering to God's will and God's way. Realizing that God's way is always best. Have you realized that before, that God's way is better than your way? Right? That God's way is not just a little better, but it's way better than your way, and it's way better than my way. I think of the prodigal son as he took all that he wanted from his father, God, his inheritance, and said, I'm going to the far country. You know why? Because he thought, I know better than you, Dad. I know better than you. And he took all the money he had and shoved it in his pockets, in his bag, whatever it may be, and he went to the far country. The Bible says he wasted his substance with righteous living. He lived a wicked life. And guess what? When the famine came, he began to be in want. He had no food. He had no money. He had no friends. He had no place to stay. And that's where the world leaves you with nothing. It leaves you with nothing. No hope, no joy, no happiness, no peace or contentment. And he came back and he went to that hog pen, didn't he? And he went to the hog pen and went, ooh, that pig food looks good. Now, I've never looked at a pig and thought, you know, this looks like a good place to sleep right here. Never looked at their food and said, that looks yummy. I think I might try a bite of that. And that's one of those where you look at it and you go, I can't do it. You know, you feed him and you like, you know, plug your nose and your mouth and just kind of walk by as you feed him. And he went there because he wasted his substance with what the world had to give him. He was sitting there eating pig food, eating garbage, filth. But then he came to himself, the Bible says. He began to be in want. He came to himself and he realized, what if I went back home? What if I got right with my father? He said, man, even the servants, they have food. They have clothes. They have a place to stay. And he humbled himself and he went back to his father. And he came back there, and when he was a great way off, his father saw him. And he ran to him and he hugged him and kissed him. And he said, my son is home. My son is home. What did that prodigal son have to come to? That place where he surrendered. Where instead of saying, I'm doing it my way, he said, I want to go back to my father. And that's a picture of God the Father and a child that strayed from Him and said, I want to go back to God. See, too many times we try it our way and realize that my way is not best. And my way ends in place of destruction and loss and sorrow, hurting myself and others in the meantime. You realize that God will never make you surrender to Him. God will never force you to get saved, do His will. He'll never force you to do any of that, but He'll make you want to. You ever been there before? Like, He's not going to make me, but He's going to make me want to. God will not fight you, but He'll speak to your heart, won't He? And God speaks to your heart and says, you know that's not right. You know you shouldn't be going there. You know you shouldn't be doing that. You know you shouldn't be talking that way. And you say, I know I shouldn't. And you surrender to God. God won't make you do anything, but He'll speak to your heart. God may bring trials along your way. He'll bring difficulty along your way to say, okay, I'm done fighting. You ever tried that before, fighting God? You say, God, I'm going to fight. I'm not giving in. And you finally say, God, I surrender. I'm done fighting. I want your way. I want your will because I know it's best. He won't fight you. He'll bring trials your way, but God will bring correction your way. Child of God, you ever tried walking away from God? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. That God corrects, right? He's not going to make you do His will, but He'll make you want to do it. Parents, you ever been there before? You're saying, I can't make my child obey, but I can make him really want to obey and make things pretty miserable until they do want to obey and do right. That's a loving parent in the right way to discipline, to correct, and to point your child in the right direction. That's the same thing that God the Father does with us, that God brings trials, God brings correction your way and says, I'm going to correct you because I love you. I'm going to correct you because I want to get you on the right track, because the way that you're going is going to hurt you and it's going to hurt others. You're going to end in destruction. The Bible says sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. Too many times we think, if I go my way, I'm going to have happiness. When I go my way, I'm going to have all the things that I ever wanted. And God said, no, you're not going to get those things. There's pleasure in sin, the Bible says, for a season. But then comes the sorrow, the loss, the destruction that comes after that. As the Apostle Paul said in the Word of God, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Have you truly surrendered to God today? I surrendered to God like 30 years ago at an altar that one night at church or at my house, and I gave my life to God. What about today? Have you surrendered to God today and say, God, not my ears, not my mouth, not my lips, not my hands and my feet, but God, it's yours. Wherever you want me to go, that's where I'll go. Wherever you want me to say, that's what I'll say. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Surrender. As the Apostle Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, I die daily. Every day wake it up and say, God, I surrender to you. You spend time in God's Word, and God's Word start revealing things in your life and speaking to your heart and changing you. You ever wake up with a bad attitude and God changes it to a good attitude? You say, God, I need to spend time in Bible and prayer today more than ever because something is not right today. God, would you help me? See, I die daily. You wake up and you just start living after the flesh. You're going to hurt people in the meantime as well as yourself. Have you surrendered to God? Heads bowed and eyes closed today, please, as we begin the invitation time. More important than this area of surrender, if you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, if you've never been born again and saved, knowing for sure that you were a child of God, can you go back to that time, to that place, to where you'd say, I know for sure that I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven? Can you remember that conviction of your heart saying, I know that I'm a sinner? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That is everybody. All have sinned. We come short of heaven. No one is good enough to go to heaven on their own. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The punishment of your sin and my sin is death and separation, the Bible says, to a place called hell. That's what you deserve. That's what I deserve according to our sin. But aren't you thankful for that gift of God, this eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross? Has there been a time and a place that by faith you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you? If you've never done that, why not today? Why not today? You can change your eternity from a place called hell to a place called heaven. What an easy decision to make. With no one looking around, if you don't know that today, would you slip your hand up so we could pray for you and say, I don't know I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. Could we show you from the Word of God? I won't unembarrass you, won't call you forward, but could we show you as a friend what the Bible says, how you can know for sure that you're saved? Would you slip your hand up real quick and say, I don't know I'm saved, but I'd like to know it. Would you slip it up real quick and put it down so I could pray for you and encourage you? So today, if that's the case, everyone in this room would say that they're saved and on their way to heaven. What about the area of surrender? Is that something that you battle with? I know it's something that I battle with. Lord, I pray you bless this invitation time. I pray that we would surrender. As we sing that song this morning, I surrender all. May there be nothing that we would keep back from you, knowing that your way is always best. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? As the ladies begin to play, Brother Drew will be up front here. If you need someone to pray with, if you need to know for sure that you're saved and go into heaven, otherwise the altar's open. Would you come and spend time with the Lord and spend time in prayer? If you came forward for baptism, would you come forward and get ready at this time, please? Have you truly surrendered all? I have at times, but there's other times I've taken it back. Saying, God, you have my life. But then I said, nope, it's mine today. Surrender it. That's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the will. Of invitation in your seat. While you're there, would you even spend time with the Lord and just surrender? So I did it this morning, and we've got to do it again. It's a battle. It's a fight. Surrendering to the Lord is always the best. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for this service. Lord, please continue to work on our hearts and speak. And thank you for this church and your many blessings. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, if you would, please, for a moment. We have a baptismal service for a couple, and we've got a few of the classmates that are here to watch their students, the fellow classmates, getting baptized today. So we're going to sing as we prepare for baptism in a few moments.
Amen. We're going to sing song number 40 together, Are You Washed in the Blood, as we prepare for baptism. So if you want to grab your song book underneath the chair in front of you, you can remain seated as we sing this song. Song number 4040. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Let's sing it out. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb?
Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Thank you for singing out. We're ready for baptism.